Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is an update on the Evergrande situation. I've been asked by a lot of viewers recently, why are Evergrande in such a dire financial position? If they've sold 1.6 million apartments on a pre-sale basis, and they're being paid anything up to 100% deposit, how is it possible that Evergrande can lose money? Because if you've got the sales guaranteed, you know you've actually done the sale, then you should be having guaranteed profit and therefore you shouldn't be in financial difficulty. So it's one thing borrowing a lot of money to buy land and to develop the properties. But as long as you're making profit and as long as you're getting more money in than you're spending, then there shouldn't be a problem. So that's the recurring question that I've been asked. And there is a very simple answer to that question. And the simple answer is that Evergrande have wasted hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. And they've done that by getting involved in a lot of different ventures that had nothing to do with property development. So if they'd have just stuck to property development, then maybe they would have been okay. Maybe they'd have been able to repay the debt. Probably not, because they took on such a huge amount of debt that it was unlikely that anybody could have been able to repay that. But if the demand had stayed for the properties and they'd kept selling those properties, then in theory, they should have had enough money to carry on going. They would have had problems with regards to the three lines test because the government brought in new restrictions, which meant that they had less debt available to them. But if they'd have been managing their cash properly, that shouldn't have been a problem. But they weren't. And in this video, what I wanted to do was to go through all of those schemes that Evergrande brought in that they have wasted so much money on. And the founder of Evergrande wanted to create a conglomerate. He wanted a business that does everything. And that was part of the problem. They got involved in a lot of different ventures that had nothing to do with property. They didn't have any skill set. They didn't have any customers, and in some cases, they didn't even know how to make the products that they were trying to deliver. So I've covered off these topics before in previous videos, but as the channel is growing, we've got a lot of new subscribers and a lot of new viewers, I wanted to put together a video that has everything in one place. Rather than hunting around trying to find old videos of mine, I wanted to create a one-stop shop which gives you all the data and information in one video. And as you know, I always include chapters in my videos, so it's really easy to be able to skip through anything that you're not particularly interested in. But I can tell you that this video is absolutely fascinating because Evergrande has got involved in such a wide variety of different activities. So the most famous ones are the theme parks and the electric vehicles. That's the ones that they've spent so much money on. But they've also been involved in agriculture and cinemas and TV and film and banking and bottled water and baby milk and cosmetic surgery. You name it, Evergrande have had a dabble into something, and generally they've spent billions of dollars doing so. So they have wasted a fortune. When you think of $100 billion, which is what Evergrande invested into their theme parks business. $100 billion. That's $100,000 million. That is bigger than a lot of household name companies that you could think of. So that is an enormous amount of money. And Evergrande have been frittering away this money over the last 10 years or so. And that is one of the reasons why they're in such dire financial situation now. If they hadn't have got involved in all these distractions, then they might have been able to trade through this and we might not be seeing the major problems that we've got right now in the Chinese economy. So in this video, I'll cover off all of the non-core activities that Evergrande has got itself into and out of over the last few years. So hopefully you'll enjoy this. Hopefully it'll put a smile on your face watching the sheer volume of businesses, but also the crazy ideas that these guys came up with. Why they thought Evergrande was going to be a success in some of these fields, I will never know. But hopefully you'll enjoy it. And if you do, then please give me a thumbs up at some point. And if you haven't subscribed already, then please do so. And the first business we'll talk about is baby formula. So this is powdered milk to be sold to babies, probably as far away from building houses as you can get.
There was a big scandal in 2008 in China because some formula was found to have melamine, a chemical agent in it that was harmful to children. So there was a big reform in the industry in 2014, and Evergrande decided it wanted to be one of the big players. So it went out and purchased Koala Dairy, which was a New Zealand-based company, and then announced that it was setting up a factory to create its own baby formula. As with a lot of Evergrande ventures, things didn't quite go to plan, and 1 year later, they sold the business on. Next up is cosmetic surgery. Now, cosmetic surgery is big news in China. It's very popular amongst the middle classes. And in 2014, Evergrande announced that it had bought a stake in a South Korean cosmetic surgery business. It then went on to announce a deal with a cosmetic surgery hospital. At the time when the deals were announced, Evergrande came out and announced that it was intending to deliver $2.7 billion of revenue in 2015, the following year. Now, no further update was ever provided, so I doubt if they got anywhere near 2.7 billion. And these businesses have now been folded into Evergrande Health, which is part of the Evergrande Group, and no individual details have been released since. But another crazy harebrained scheme getting into cosmetic surgery. Next up is magazines. So in March 2015, Evergrande announced that it had bought a Hong Kong-based magazine group called New Media Group for $122 million. Now, there was no real logic to this. There was no strategy. This wasn't a move into printed press or digital media. It was just a straightforward acquisition. No real follow-up was provided. So I can't give you an update as to what happened to the Hong Kong-based publishing business. I assume they sold it to somebody at some point in the future. It's not been mentioned since. I can't find any record of it. But another great scheme to get into publishing, which didn't really go anywhere for Evergrande. Next on the list is a hotel and holiday resort in Quebec, Canada. Now, this hotel is run by Fairmont Group and is the Chateau Montebello, if anybody has been there. It looks extremely nice. It's a 65,000 acre site with the largest log cabin in the world, which is the hotel. It has 210 rooms, a golf course, some really nice facilities. So a really nice hotel development based in Canada, but no idea why a Chinese property development business would be acquiring it and then also allowing Fairmont Group to carry on running it. No details of the acquisition were disclosed, but my guess is that they paid at least $500 million for this property. They still own it today, so it's still part of the group. No details are provided in terms of the performance, but it looks very nice if you go onto the website, and it looks quite an upmarket place. It's one of the top 10 resorts in Canada, as voted on TripAdvisor. So I think it's relatively successful, but again, crazy, crazy thing for a Chinese property developer to be doing. Next on the list is solar panels. Why not? So in October 2014, Evergrande announced that it intended to make a $15 billion investment into a 9.2 gigawatt Chinese solar capacity plant. Now, this was going to be the biggest solar panel plant in the world at that time. So really quite a grand statement for Evergrande to make. They really wanted to hit this market hard. They wanted to become one of the biggest producers of solar panels globally. So quite bold and quite in keeping with a lot of the other statements that the Evergrande group made about various other businesses. And unfortunately, like a lot of the other Evergrande plans, it didn't really go anywhere. And 6 months later, Evergrande announced that it had scrapped the plans to become the biggest solar panel producer in the world. And that was the end of that. Anybody fancy cinemas? Well, Evergrande did. In 2014, they announced that they were building 77 cinema complexes all across China. They later announced plans to add another 30 cinemas and then followed that up by a statement that they wanted to have 150 cinemas across China by the end of 2016. They subsequently went on to acquire two cinema businesses in China, and no details have been provided, but our estimate is that they invested around about $1 billion into this venture. Now, there was an element of cohesion because they had some other media investments, but there was no direct link between those investments and the cinema business. So essentially, it was a standalone operation, very different to property development. Obviously, the building of the cinemas was relatively linked, but actually managing and running and maintaining cinemas is quite a different field, but quite fun anyway. Next on the list is hospitals. So Evergrande announced in 2013 that it was teaming up with Harvard University with a view to building some hospitals in China on a joint venture basis. They wanted to use Harvard University's expertise and their building expertise to create the perfect combination. And as part of this announcement, interestingly, Evergrande gave a huge donation to Harvard University. Now, nothing was disclosed about the amount of that, apart from it was seen as being a significant sum. So my estimate is that it was at least $500 million donation to Harvard, but it could have been as big as a billion. Who knows? At the time, I think the ego was running away with itself, so it could easily have been as high as a billion, but nobody knows. But they entered into this arrangement to build a series of hospitals, but unfortunately, it didn't quite work out like that. But they did have a link back to one of their earlier investments here, the cosmetic surgery side. So they have actually opened one hospital as a joint venture arrangement, and this is in a holiday resort, which has a focus towards cosmetic surgery, but also does have some other wards such as cancer. So that was opened in 2018. No financial details have been provided, but it's very different to the property development side of things. So obviously when you're building a hospital, you don't really make any money when you're building that. And then even when it's open, how do you make any money from running a hospital? It's a completely different business model. So another harebrained, crazy idea by the founder of Evergrande. My view here on this one is that he wanted the profile. He wanted to be seen as a good guy who was doing something to help the community. He was helping Harvard University. He was using Evergrande's money to do this. So he was actually running down the cash reserves and building up more debt. But as long as he was having fun, I guess that was the main thing. In November 2015, it was announced that Evergrande had bought a loss-making life assurance business. And again, there was no real logic to this. They didn't have a large financial arm. It wasn't something they were looking to develop. There is a loose tie-in to some of the other health-related businesses that we've been talking about here, but no direct strategy, nothing really tying this to the rest of the group. At the time of the acquisition, Evergrande paid $617 million for the business, and it's reported that it was loss-making for a number of years. Now, I believe that it's now turned into profits and it's been doing quite well for the last few years, but it can't be doing that well because there are reports recently in the press that Evergrande is now looking to dispose of the life assurance arm, and it's looking at a price of around about $600 million. So 6 years later, it's only breaking even on the deal. So not a complete disaster like some of the other investments here, but not really a huge success either. Next up is bottled water. So in January 2014, Evergrande announced that it was entering the bottled water market.
恒大冰泉，长白山上原始森林中的矿泉，长白山上深层火山岩冷泉，全程无空气接触灌装而成。 天然弱碱性矿泉水，均衡富含对人体有益的多种元素，质量至上。恒大集团。
And as usual, Evergrande had grand plans. They wanted to be the biggest player on the planet. But after a couple of years of heavy losses, they decided to try to list it on the Hong Kong stock market. That didn't work. They weren't able to get that successfully away. And the business was eventually sold in September 2016, along with a number of other businesses that we're talking about on this list. One of the more successful investments that Evergrande made was Heng Ten. Now, Heng Ten is the Chinese equivalent of Netflix. So this is a digital media platform that provides content that people pay for. And it was set up as a joint venture with Alibaba in 2015. Now, no details have been provided as to how much money was invested by Evergrande, but the company did make losses for the first few years. And it's estimated that somewhere in the region of $2 billion was invested by Evergrande into Heng Ten. Now, if you've been following the videos, you'll know that they've recently sold out of their stake. At one point, they had a 55% ownership of Heng Ten, but they've now completely sold out of that position. And unfortunately for Evergrande, the share price plummeted during the course of 2021. So the cash that they managed to get out of the business ended up netting them a $1.1 billion loss. So at one point, it was doing quite well and was valued at around about $2 billion on the Evergrande balance sheet. But unfortunately, by the time they came to sell it, the value had fallen and they ended up making a loss. In March 2014, Evergrande bought a 5% stake in Beijing's Huaxia Bank for $546 million. But that was only really a dabble. And in 2016, they set their sights on buying into Shengjing Bank. And over the course of 12 months, they acquired a 36% stake for around about $4 billion. Now, Evergrande has actually got itself into a little bit of hot water and is now being investigated by the regulators because they started taking loans from Shengjing Bank. And there are strict rules in China about being able to borrow money from companies that you are invested into. So they're now being investigated for that. They subsequently sold the stake for around about $1.5 billion. So again, not a great investment because they've lost money on it. And they've also potentially got themselves into trouble by having a trading relationship with that bank. Okay, so now we're getting into the really fun stuff. So in 2010, Evergrande bought a football club, a soccer team in China. Now, this team was actually sitting in the second division of the Chinese Football League and had been involved in a financial scandal where the manager had been sacked. And so it was in disgrace. But Evergrande stepped in, they bought the club, and then they poured a lot of money into the team and the management. So they hired ex-World Cup winning managers and overseas superstars. So they brought in a series of Brazilian strikers. They started with small amounts, so it was only $3 or $4 million to start with. But it culminated in the worst signing of all time when they signed Jackson Martinez, and he only scored 4 goals. So each one of those goals cost Evergrande around about $20 million each. A complete disaster. And added to what they spent on the team and the management, they also designed an incredible football stadium in the shape of a lotus flower that they decided to build themselves. It was going to be the biggest stadium in the world. As you would imagine with Evergrande, always biggest, always best. So they had plans for the best stadium ever. Now, unfortunately, the crowd at the football club was around about half the size of the new stadium. So it was a completely pointless exercise building this huge stadium. They started the development of it. It had an estimated cost of $1.8 billion. They stopped work on that stadium a few months ago, and it's just been reported that the local authority, the government, has stepped in and seized control of that stadium. So they now own it. So Evergrande don't have any value whatsoever. So the football club in total cost Evergrande around about $4.8 billion. Now the club has now distanced itself from Evergrande. It's changed its name. It's dropped Evergrande from the title. So it has no relationship whatsoever. So a completely disastrous investment. There's no rationale for ever investing in a sports club as a business venture. This was really an ego trip from the founder. He had fun. Everybody enjoyed it for a short time, but a complete and utter waste of money. Next up is agriculture. Now, this is quite a mixed bag of investments, and Evergrande decided to get into a whole host of different parts of agriculture. So in August 2014, Evergrande announced that it was going to invest $16 billion into agriculture to become one of the big players in China. And they wanted to cover everything. So they had grain and vegetable oil and dairy and husbandry and pig farming and everything you could think of in agriculture. Now, as with most things that Evergrande got involved with, it didn't really work out that way, and they ended up selling the majority of their investments within a 12-month period. The penultimate investment on the list is electric cars. So the founder of Evergrande had been watching Elon Musk do very well with Tesla and decided that he wanted to do the same thing with Evergrande. So in 2018, he started by making an investment in a US company called Faraday Future. And he put $2 billion into this business. Now, Faraday Future had had a checkered past. It had repeatedly said that it was bringing out a new vehicle and had failed to deliver on any of those timeframes. And they already had a Chinese chief executive who'd invested some money into the company previously. Now, Evergrande quickly fell out with this chief executive, and he issued a lawsuit against Evergrande claiming that they hadn't given over the full amount of the $2 billion. Now, that debacle did not put Evergrande off, and they later came out and announced that they were investing $23 billion into the creation of three electric car plants in China. And they stated that they were going to be the biggest electric car company in the world, and that they would be producing 1 million vehicles per year. So this was going to eclipse Tesla and all of the other major electric car companies. So where did we get to? What's happened? 3 years on, what have they done? Well, it's sad to say that unfortunately they still haven't produced one car. So despite claiming they were going to be producing 1 million per year, they still haven't produced one. And it now looks like Evergrande is going to have to exit from the electric car business. They obviously don't have any spare capital. This is a very specialist field. A lot of people have failed in electric car production. A lot of car manufacturers have failed in electric car production. But a Chinese property development business thought that they could come in and smash the market within 3 years, that it was going to be easy peasy. It wasn't, it isn't, and it's never going to happen. So unfortunately, we still haven't seen any of the cars, and it's very likely that we will never see a car from that factory. So last, but by no means least, we've got theme parks. So in 2017, Evergrande announced that it was going to build 15 theme parks in China, and its intention was to be bigger than Disney. These theme parks were going to be bigger and better than anything anybody had seen before. They would have more rides, more experience, just be an amazing concept.
The innovative World Fairy Tale Park, presenting with five splendid themes. Chinese mythology, including Naja Conquers the Dragon King roller coaster, and Monkey King Wreaks Havoc in Heaven, Catch the Train of Fairyland. Pass through these classic stories, ancient Greek fairy tale, mechanical toy horse, Sparta Warcraft, revitalize the epics, Western Europe fairy tale, adventure flight with a wizard of Oz, South America tribes, Amazon jungle rafting, ancient Arabic mythology, miraculous exploration in Sinbad Flume Ride, as well as Aladdin 5D Cinema. Fantastic Ocean World, covering tropical forest, deep ocean and polar region, three distinct biospheres. Over 10,000 species, including emperor penguin, polar bear, beluga whale, whale shark inhabit in 33 aquariums and venues to show the spectacular lives on Earth. Coastal Water Park, Stone Mountain in the tropical area, brings extremely cable-way experience, rafting through the ocean world, Water Roller Coaster, Flow Rider, Free Fall, Speeding, and Python Slides, an opportunity to challenge the limit.
Each one of these parks was going to cost $7 billion each to create. Now, this was just a crazy idea because Evergrande has experience in construction, but clearly they've got no experience in entertainment and being able to staff up a theme park and work out what themes work, what rides to have, how to do everything relating to that whole event management business. So as with a lot of the other investments that we've talked about on this video, this theme park business did not come to fruition. They have started building a lot of the theme parks and they have wasted a lot of money. But unfortunately, we don't see any of these parks operational. And it's likely that the investment they made will become worthless because they have picked areas that are secondary cities all around China, and there's not really any buyers for these assets. So it's a really sad story, and I thought I'd finish off the video today by showing you one of these abandoned theme parks that Evergrande has built. So hopefully you'll enjoy this video.